You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za. The time is now 12 minutes past 4, and after a bit of an absence because of religious holidays and the like, we have got Marley back in the studio from Capella House, and she is here for the Education Zone, and with her she has a guest whose name is Andrea van Meegarden. As simple as that, I got it right. You look at a name like that and you think, can it be that straightforward? But there we go. And she's from an organization called a Starseed Community School, and Marley will be speaking to her this afternoon about what it is that they do there and what it is all about. Good afternoon, Marley. Nice to have you back.
Good afternoon.
Okay, and good afternoon to Andrea. Is it Andrea, hey?
Yeah, or Andrea.
Andrea, okay. Andrea, there we go. All right, over to you, ladies, and it's all about education.
All about education, and Andrea asked, I think it's about 3 months ago, that she would wanted to be a guest on the station. To speak a little bit about, at the time it was more around the challenges that Starseed experienced, and so no time have lapsed, and so we kept the appointment today, and so I think for me it was really today a space for Andrea to share about how did Starseed started off. I was reminded that we need to stick to time, so 45 minutes. Mm-hmm. So, Andrea, if you can, just in a nutshell, I think I personally love the philosophy of Capella, of Starseed. So I would love for you to talk to the philosophy of Starseed, right? But then also because you're saying that, you know, there's no principal, there's no head, and parents are, they're volunteering time, and the structure solely rely on parents and community involvement. So then how does that work? I think it will be lovely for you to share with the listeners, like how does it work regarding structure if you don't have a head or a principal, and then if parents are offering their time for free, and then how does your financial structure work in relation to building this community school, other than having families paying a school fee, but how does it really work? Because I'm fascinated by it.
Thanks, Molly. I guess to start with your first question, there are many questions there. So the school started about 9 years ago, and it started in different people's homes. All the classes were spread mostly around Musenberg, and each class kind of organically came about when parents saw a need for a class to come about for a group of children. And so they were run independently in different homes. Some lasted 1 or 2 years and some carried on. And it was a very loose collaboration of classes. And then in 2021, the school decided to come together to support each other and to support the classes to work better. And so it originally was called the New Musenberg School. And when we came together, we thought, well, we're not new anymore. It needs to change its name. And that process was also a very beautiful process of trying to find the right name for this group of beautiful children and parents and teachers. And after a process, we came up with the name Starseed Community School. We've been running for 4.5 years now as this kind of group of classes, which has now become a school. We don't have a principal, like you said, which is often very challenging. But we run – the school is run by 10 people. The school is run by the entire community, but there's something called a focus group, which is 5 parents and 5 teachers that help to govern and guide the school. But underneath that, there's a bunch of working groups, which every single parent in the school is part of, and their energy and decisions and information gets fed up towards the focus group. So it's a bottom-up kind of way of working, and we really encourage every single parent in the school to be part of decision making, to be part of ideas to be part of creating the school that they want to see and be part of. And it all sounds very wonderful, but it also has a lot of challenges because not all parents want to do that. And so how to communicate that to parents when they join the school, that this is actually how the school works and we need you to be involved. And it's not a drop and go kind of school at all. You also spoke about the financial model.
Yes, because I'm fascinated by the financial model because it's a community school and the makeup of your community school is children from low income households. And so can you just explain a little bit of how that fee structure then works to support those families?
Sure. So it's also a fee structure that we're testing and trying and changing all the time because it's not the best that we've got, but the fees work according to your household income. So you pay school fees according to how much your household earns. At the moment, our school fees are 10% of your household income. And what is household income is also difficult to define because some people live with one parent, some people live with grandparents and aunties and uncles, and so. Yeah, it's a challenge to be part of the finance team and try and figure out what people's school fees are because they're confused and we're confused sometimes. And so in the end, it's a conversation. And a lot of the times it comes down to that because people lose their jobs and different things happen in our lives. And so the school is able to have those conversations. So we do have a minimum amount and a maximum amount for the school fees, but generally it's 10%.
Okay.
And we're hoping that it doesn't have to be a minimum and maximum and it can just be across the board. But as an independent school, we also need to pay our teachers' salaries, and that minimum amount had to increase. I think it was the beginning of this year because I think at least 70% of the school is paying the minimum amount. And so we've been struggling to stay above water because it's expensive to run a school. One of our most expensive things is our rent. We rent a home in Musenberg, and yeah, we really are looking for the city to support with finding premises for us. And so we're in a lot of processes at the moment to find our way, and it's ever changing and ever evolving, mm-hmm. which makes it really exciting as well.
Yeah,
I have two questions for you. Going back to prior to your finance question, which mm-hmm. you've addressed now, and I think that is a challenge, and I think you know the many ways that one could approach that problem, and you're approaching it in a particular way, which is not bad at all. But coming back to the governing of the school, the mm-hmm. running of the school, do you not think, part one of my question, do you not think that in an environment like that, that you run the risk of too many cooks spoiling the broth? Was that something that you considered or something that has been brought up, the fact that everybody's in there? And then part two of that question follows on, that inevitably it's human nature that there's going to be conflict. There are going to be people, a parent who has a view on education that may be totally different to another group, or there will be a group of people who have, you know, how do you manage that? Because there's going to be a conflict there at some point, and I'm sure that you've had them. How do you manage that if there is no leader that says, hey, this is how it's going to be done, and takes control of the situation? I just find that dynamic interesting.
Yeah, it's a challenge.
Yeah.
And the too many cooks... we've definitely had, because the school grew organically and is still growing organically, we come up with things and then we find procedures and policies to support.
Mm.
And so at some point, the focus group was open to any parent at any time who wants to come and join the weekly meeting. For a time that worked until our school grew and grew and grew. And so it's grown really fast over the years because we've had to add a new class every year, a new class one and a new class one. And so, at some stage, there were too many voices in the focus group and way too much going on.
Too many cooks.
Yeah, and so we decided, okay, we need to be voted in by the school community. And so we asked, you know, who would like to suggest somebody to be on the focus group. And there's only 5 seats for parents and 5 seats for teachers. So not all teachers are on the focus group, whereas before they all were.
Yeah.
And there was too many voices. And so
a very long meeting.
Yes. They're still very long meetings. but yeah, so it's hard to have too little voices because of capacity as well. All the people on the focus group have a big responsibility and role. And so after each meeting, there's a lot of things to get done. And so, yeah, we thought that 8 to 10 was a good number. And that's quite a new process that we've put into place. And so we're trying it out. And
okay.
And maybe in 6 months we'll decide, actually, it doesn't really work. Or and so, yeah, it's ever-changing and ever-organic. And your second question?
Well, I was wondering that if there was any sort of conflict between particular people, possibly, or in this case you're going to have maybe 3 or 4, 5, 10 people have a view on something that is different to the view of maybe 10 or 12 other people. The rest of them are neutral, but you're going there's a risk of conflict between those groups. How do you manage that conflict? If it's occurred, I'm just saying human nature, the chances are good that it would have, but, if it has occurred, if it does occur, who is the referee if there is no person at the top that's going to say, okay, listen, let's just chill here and let's talk this through. And this is the decision that I've made, like a principal would.
Mm-hmm.
In the absence of a principal, how do you do that? Is it the 10 people?
Well, we've definitely had conflict.
Yeah.
And as the school grows, there's more conflict.
Mm.
There's just more bodies and more opinions.
You can't make omelets without breaking eggs, I guess.
Yeah. And so, yeah, what happens is we form generally an incident team when an incident happens. And that might include other people outside of the focus group.
Mm-hmm.
And the incident team will deal with the specific incident and give a recommendation to the focus group. And in the end, the focus group will make a final decision on what happens in that incident. But yeah, it's decisions are challenging because there's so many people and they take long.
Mm.
Whereas when there's one person, it's easy just to make the decision.
Mm.
But what's also interesting is that generally society is used to having a boss.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
And so parents and teachers and focus group members alike are always looking for this boss.
Mm.
And always, you know, often we get a parent who's like, I want to speak to the boss. I have a complaint.
Mm.
We're like, well, you need to send an email to the focus group and we'll put it into our next meeting agenda. And it might take a few, you know, like it takes a bit of time. And so even being on the focus group myself for the last 4.5 years, I've had to learn how to navigate that as well and not always try be the boss because that's my personality, but really allow this team to make decisions gently. And that has been amazing to learn on how to listen more in a meeting than try and talk and push your agenda. And some people take time to allow their opinion to come. And it's really like allowing that space and time for decisions for this whole group of very diverse people to come to a decision.
Mm-hmm. All right. Yeah. The I don't want to undermine your interview here,
no,
Molly.
When you're done.
Okay. I just want to ask again, it relates to this leadership thing because that's what makes you unique.
Mm.
How do children relate to that? How does a child who maybe came from an environment where the principal was the boss and the teacher was like, do I see you, whatever. How do the children relate to the fact that there is no one person? And does the teacher that's teaching them become that person?
Yeah, I think that's generally what's happened. Like the children are not really involved in the governance of the school or, their teacher is their main go-to. And because we follow a world of inspired curriculum, they have the same teacher for 7 years.
Okay.
And so
that answers my question.
Their teacher is their mom, really.
Okay.
If I look at my children, it's their second mom. And so, yeah, they don't really need to interact with the principal or anything higher. because they are working with that teacher very closely, and that teacher is guiding them. So yeah, it's more of a teacher child.
The challenge is more with the parents than with the children.
Yes.
Okay, all right. Thank you. That answers my question.
But Regina Andrea, I also love how because you're saying, you know, the children is not necessarily part of that decision making, but at the same time, experience have been of the world of children is like naturally they do become part of the reality of the school. They are not being outside of that reality. So especially when it comes to fundraisers, I think Waldorf is one of a Waldorf inspired school. One of the features of a Waldorf is when you do fundraisings, it's not just adults, but every child make a contribution to that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the heart of the whole Waldorf philosophy.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that what you describe here is almost like, I think Starseed is like ahead of their time. And regarding not just because it's more than a school, we're talking about community and our community functions. And so I think because you're working with such a diverse group of people, in the context even of leadership and experiences and culture, it's brave to take on this process and, you know, stick with it because it's new. And I think that's also lovely. You're not adopting a structure that's already been there for many years. But this group of people was brave enough to say, this is what we want for our children. This is what we want to see it looks like. And even with all the challenges, you still, because now if I look at it, it's about 9 years now that this process has been running. And it was really exciting to see that you're having your first grade 7 next year, even with all the challenges, Andrea. And just quickly, the other thing that has really stood out for me is that it sounds like as Starseed evolve, so it's not, and because it's I think it's this new thing that you've created to allow you to put your, you know, like you walk into a business and there's already policies and guidelines and the list is endless. But what I really love when you speak is like, it sounds like as the school evolves, you create your guidelines and your policies. And so, it's not from outside coming in, but it's created as things evolve on a daily basis. And I love that part, Andrea.
Yeah, that has been a beautiful process and challenging because when an incident happens, we don't have the processes in place to deal with it. And then we need to create them then and there. Yeah. And that takes time.
Yes.
But we're part of a process now where we're gathering all those things together because they're a bit scattered.
Mm-hmm.
To put them all into a teacher and a parent handbook. And Catherine Whaling, who's been part of the school for a very long time and is now slowly stepping out, she's putting that together for us with a deep institutional knowledge that has been there. And just for parents to try and understand the school, because when you come in as a parent, it takes long to understand what's happening and the workings of it. And so, yeah, we're going to have this parent handbook. And when you were speaking about, you know, being really community built, I think what I love, one part of the school, is that we really believe that the community needs to be part of the education of the school, not only the parents.
Yes.
And so using community members of Musenberg, because that's where we're rooted, mm-hmm. to teach our children has been so beautiful. Because the school's kind of play spaces are public
yes.
parks, the Flay, the beach, the mountain. They're always interacting with community members. And there's so many beautiful people to meet. And, you know, we've used the local chef to teach us to make food and the local baker and the local blacksmith. And the kids are always walking around the village. And so the classes are small enough to be able to do that. There's no indemnity form to sign for each outing. It's like they're on an outing every day. And yes, it's the responsibility of the teachers to be able to hold that. But it's so beautiful seeing how street smart the children are and how they know exactly which side of the road to be and where the teacher's going to stop. And, you know, it's like automatic in them that that's just how they do. And they know how to navigate being in a public space. Which I think we're losing a lot in mainstream schooling is being like fenced in.
Yeah.
And outside of our community, whereas our community is us and we are the community. And so interacting with them is really important and also not always easy. There's been challenges, of course.
Yes.
But yeah.
But I think that's part of Starseed's features of like, you don't stepping back from a challenge. You face it on and you, it's just part of the process. So I'm really inspired by that. Just one more thing, Richard, unless you've got something else that you want to add. I just want to add one more. You good? So then, Andrea, so this idea, because it's very new, these concepts that Starseed is talking about, you know, like getting the community involved, it's a community school, parents is involved. How else can anybody, because the community itself that's surrounded by Starseed, how do they make a contribution from a other than making themselves available for children to as part of their learning? Like the businesses surrounding Starseed, how do they make a contribution towards this financial restrictions that you have, you know, like at times? I'm just curious.
Yeah, I guess, you know, local business, we have approached quite a few local business to support financially.
Yeah.
And we have a Back a Buddy page, which we actually are very close to our goal. Our goal was 200,000 rand and we had 193,000. So we're almost hitting our goal and we'd love to push past that. And then there's also a bursary fund, which supports families who can't reach the minimum school fees.
10%.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Well, the minimum of the 10%, which is currently 1,500 a month. And so, yeah, there's a bursary fund to support families that exist in the school mostly, but need support to top up their school fees. That also has a Back a Buddy page, but, yeah, most, you could just email the school to be part of that. But, I think more than anything is for local businesses to see them, to see the children. Like, for example, the baker gives bread every time the kids pass. And so it's more of acknowledging, acknowledging the children, seeing them and being part of the education in different ways. I think all businesses have something to offer. Yeah. And if it's not financial, there's other ways. Yes. But yes, of course, financially, would be great for the local businesses in the area to support. And then just attending our fundraisers and maybe sponsoring a fundraiser. We're always having fundraisers happening. So, yeah.
What a beautiful concept. Really, Andrea, I can just wish Starseed strength to strength and looking forward to see your Class 7 next year. And Zone Radio is the station where we can really talk about these things.
Well, a couple of things do come to mind here. The first is that if you are having a fundraiser, we do have a thing called a community diary. We do it every Wednesday. In fact, it went to air just before you arrived here this afternoon. And if you get hold of Judy, and I'll give you her email address, and you've got an event that is a fundraiser, we'll happily, I'm sure Judy will be very happy to put that on the community diary. That's the first thing. I am a firm believer that money should not be an obstacle to education. I do believe that, but I also know that in many instances that is also a pipe dream, because there are costs associated with the foundations of education. So I'm a realist when it comes to that. My final word is more observational and probably a little bit more from the heart. But it is a daunting thing to take on something like this where you know where you want to be, but you're not sure how you're going to get there. And sometimes that takes a leap of faith, and it just sometimes takes taking the first step and seeing where that gets you. And I admire the way that you're going about this, because you're inventing this as you go, and you're doing it, acknowledging that there are challenges, but not with any fear. And I asked you some questions to which you had ready answers, so you thought these things through. But the comment that I really want to make is that having you here this afternoon means something, because I look in your eyes and I look at your face light up when you talk about what it is that you're doing. And I'm sure that you're not the only one that does that. And if there are people with that kind of passion involved in the education of our children, then we're in a good place. So to you and your team and everyone, you see again, I don't know, but the whole bang shoot, well done. Well done. And you're challenging the system. Mm-hmm. And who knows where it's going to end, but at least you are doing something, because we know this, that if we want a different result, we can't be doing the same things. Mm. And you're looking for a different result, and you're trying it with a different method. So that's my 5 cents worth. Thank you so much for making yourself available. You could quite easily have been relaxing at home on a public holiday with everybody else. I do thank you for your time this afternoon. And Molly, thank you for bringing Andrea in. It's really, really, very worthwhile. And if there's any way we can help, please let us know.
I did want to tell the listeners about an open day that we have coming up on the 8th of June, Saturday morning. So maybe I can put that in your event diary.
Well, I see it's posted here on your Facebook page. Is that the one?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to give you Judy's email address. And what you have there, we can mention it. I want you to mention the details now, but she can also share that post. So there's all sorts of things that she can do. She does the magic on that side, does Judy. And I think that we can help. Yeah.
Sure.
Where we can, we will.
Yeah.
Well, what's the event?
So it's an open day on the 8th of June. It starts 10:30 to 1, and it's a great opportunity to come to the school. We're based in Cromer Road in Musenberg. To come to the school and have a chat to the teachers, some other parents, have a look at what the school's about, and really get some more information if you're interested. But as you said, we also have a Facebook page and an Instagram page and a beautiful website. Yes. Molly was saying she loves our website. So, yeah, there's more information on there and our email address and contacts. So, yeah, if you want to get in touch, we're here in the hood. The community.
All right. Well, all of that stuff will be linked into the podcast that we do.
Okay.
And people will be able to go to the podcast on our website, and they will be able to find the links and follow them. So we'll put your Facebook page link up there and your website link up there, and people can follow that.
Great.
All right. Is that it, Molly?
That's it.
Hey, have you voted?
On my way.
On your way to vote. Have you voted?
I voted.
Did you?
My finger has the brown dot.
We are in the majority here. Us who have voted. Okay. Thank you so much for coming in, Molly. Thank you for that. And we'll talk to you again next month.
Yes. Wonderful.
All right. Okay. That was our Education Zone for this month. Molly will be back again next month with another guest. And it's all about education. And it is the Education Zone with Capella House.